So maybe the question of today is, why do we have a lopsided trade? What's going on in this market with a lot of negative feel in the grains, especially when we started out with a bit of optimism? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Of course, Jacob Burks joins us today with AgMarket.net. And for you, what's been your takeaway from this trade action so far?
Susan, thanks for having me on. This has been a trade where we've seen a little bit of strength early in the beans. We actually went up and made new highs in some of the front months. Could not hold those. We've now drifted back down below the 200-day moving average. But looking at a trade coming off of last week's where it felt like maybe led by the products where you saw bean oil shoot up a little bit and have some strength with the lack of crush efficiencies, I guess you should say, when we see the cold weather that we've seen. So I think that was kind of helped push the bean market through there. You had a little bit of skiff of some potential Argentina problems that could happen, maybe southern Brazil. And look, we were trying to make a mountain out of a molehill when we start talking about the weather situation. But there, you know, every good production or supply scare, production scare, kind of has to start with a little bit of bad news. And that's kind of what we saw last week. I mean, it hasn't fixed itself yet, but the looks like the Argentina weather situation has got some rain in the forecast. We saw some rains across the central part of Brazil this weekend. So, you know, just a lot of what ifs were coming into last week. We built a little bit of a potential rally. And then to come in here on the Monday and see that make new highs and then sell off in the beans was a little bit disappointing. And then you switch over into the corn and wheat. And wheat had that scare of potential winter kill coming across the Midwest or coming across the Great Plains whenever the winter storm came through. You know, you won't know that stuff until you start coming out of dormancy and see what actually happened there. But again, did not follow through into Monday's trade. We're still, we're down about a nickel or so in the corn. Just hard to catch any type of rally. We had a good day on Friday and we just can't follow through with it.
Well, and it seems like, and you and I were talking about this a bit before we started today's market wrap up, just like with Russia and Ukraine, we just kind of become numb. Like, oh, yep, here's another comment coming across as to what's going to happen with tariffs. It's like the market's factored all that in at this point.
Yeah, you start talking about trade and, you look over in the corn market and, wow, what a year. We're talking about 3.2 billion bushels that are going out in exports. If you look at the export sales from last week, you'd probably say that's not enough. Maybe we will even increase that number, and we're on pace to do that. And you start looking at tariffs and it's like, okay, you know, trying to keep up with the story. If you have a timeline, great, I'll send it to me because I would love to have it because I can't keep up anymore. And it is. It's something that you become numb to it, right? The market becomes numb to the next tariff, the next free trade agreement that could potentially maybe happen. It's like you're on that schoolyard playground and you're playing tag and you're just running around. Everybody's tagging everybody and you don't know what's going on. I feel like that's a little bit of a way how to describe the tariff situation in our global trade partners that we're working with right now.
Well, Jacob, but it is exciting to see weekly export inspections. I mean, corn rising to a 5-week high. That isn't something that was on my January bingo card.
I don't know. Look at certain markets that are trading right now. When you start looking at the outside markets, talking about a bingo card that's not there, like we're seeing some odd stuff happen. And you start looking at the potential that maybe we're front running these corn exports, but maybe we're not. Maybe this is just the norm. Maybe the world is using the corn. That's the one thing that we've figured out is we have. You know, we didn't even produce. We have never produced a 16 billion bushel crop domestically. We produced a 17. We went from 15 to 17 billion bushels, but we're using it. It's the global the trade is just moving corn, and when we're finding homes for it and finding uses for it, does that stop? Is this a big front load, and all of a sudden it comes to a pretty quick halt? That story will have to be told later. But for now, it just keeps getting better. And so then last week, seeing that number come out at 4 million metric ton. That was a little bit of a surprise, but it was huge. I think a little bit of that last week kind of had to do with small boats that were purchased. We thought we'd see about 3 million metric ton, but with the dollar falling like we saw, I think that's kind of made some people have some quick sales that are maybe underneath that reporting level.
And quickly on the livestock side, it is nice to see some new contract highs being set once again in this cattle market. Obviously, a very neutral cattle on feed report from last Friday.
Yeah, I mean that's the story's been told, right? We're short cattle. There's things that have been factored in, and you know what they're going to see with the kills. The kills have been pulling back, so the Packers are going to continue to that pace. Are they going to look at finding ways to slow the rail down, increase box beef? But right now, people are still willing to pay that, and without that box beef, you know, I think that's going to drive the market. I think it's going to be a demand-driven market right now because we know the supplies. You know, like you said, on Friday we came out with the report that said, hey, numbers are still tight. There was no surprise cattle brought in. There was no surprise moves there. We're still retaining some heifers. We do have some heifers on feed, but right now you're seeing bred heifer sales, you know, really ramp up here. And so I think that's going to be the story as we go forward, is what happens on that the beef production side. We're just now starting to see the effects of the Nebraska plant that is shut down, slowing some kills down. What does the box beef, can they find ways to keep that, you know, positive, and can we keep the demand still rolling and still selling those box beef?
All right. Well, I'm excited to say that next week we'll all be doing this Monday market ramp up from Nashville with all of you guys at agmarket.net with another great seminar opportunity coming up.
Absolutely. We are so looking forward to that, and we are so grateful that we were not in Nashville this weekend and avoided some of that weather. We do hope that everything is up and running and going, and people are back to their normal lives shortly. But, yeah, we will be live and in person from the Renaissance Hotel the weekend right before we start getting to the NCBA conference as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Jacob Burks, joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Monday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.